This is the Ask Falaschini podcast, where the modern economy is discussed from a skeptic's perspective. Mr. Falaschini helps you distinguish what is sustainable in our economy and what isn't. Not everything that glitters is gold, and not all mud is dirty. The podcaster Mr. Falaschini provides no-nonsense advice. He had it all, lost it all, went bankrupt multiple times, and is now attempting to come back from zero with sustainable growth. There are numerous coaches and preachers on the internet that preach about positive thinking and how life is all roses if you just care to see it that way. Well, Mr. Falaschini is definitely not one of them. We recommend you ask Falaschini to keep it real. He discusses the darker side of the current economic reality, the side that's more important for your personal and business finance. His first intention is to help you keep what you already have. Not to be a complete party pooper, Mr. Falaschini will also hint at the earning opportunities in the economy today. In order to please the almighty algorithm, please like, share, and subscribe. And now it's time to start taking notes. The mic goes to the podcaster, the one and only Mr. Falaschini.
Welcome to the Ask Falaschini podcast with a guest. I'm proud to present Simon Poplar, the gold maximalist. Simon was a guest on our podcast just about a year ago. And I must tell you that everything that he predicted came true. So I was more than eager to talk with him again when most of his predictions are becoming realities. So it will be more than interesting to discuss what's going to happen next with the gold price and with the economy. Simon, thank you for being our guest again. How are you doing?
I'm great. Lovely to be here. Thank you very much.
So let's talk about the gold price. Is it true that the only way for the gold price is up right now?
Well, look, there's three, I know, schools of thought, two evidence-based and one is sort of slightly, logical, for want of a better term. But the first is the gold price tends to follow debt over the longer term. Now, obviously, gold price moves up and down. But over the longer term, if the debt level has gone up, the gold price has gone up. And I'm yet to hear a convincing argument that the debt level is going to go down. So on that basis, I think that, if debt continues going up, I can't see any reason why the gold price shouldn't follow suit over the longer term.
Would you say that the gold price is a hedge towards ever-growing debt?
You have to be really careful because as soon as you say the gold price is a hedge against inflation or debt or anything like that, there's lots of people who come out the woodwork and go, actually, if you look at this example, 40 years ago, the gold price went down and debt went up. And unfortunately, there's always going to be examples like that. But I think what my view is, you're going to have to look at the direction of travel. And the direction of travel is more debt. And therefore, my view is, yes, you'll have to take some short-term risks over the gold price. But if you hold it over the longer term, then you'd hope that the price goes up.
So if I understand correctly, the direction of a gold price is parallel with the direction of a debt.
Yeah, well, there's a chart that I can show you. And if you look at that chart, that would be the implication. As I say, gold prices, it does go up and down, whereas debt just seems to go up. Providing you can take some volatility, and if you look over a longer term, historically, the gold price has gone up when debt has gone up. And talking of historically, see if you want to speak, but if you look at the boom in the 1970s in the gold price, and you overlay the current bull market with that, the gold price actually looks quite cheap at the moment. And if things were to repeat itself or history was to repeat itself, we could be in for a very nice ride.
Okay. So what I really liked about our last conversation is that you are not only investing in gold as a commodity, but you also invest in gold related stocks, mostly from mining and production companies. And I would like to have your point of view. What will happen with the prices of these companies? Will they go up? Will they just follow the market? What will happen?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, no one can say with any massive certainty what will happen. But my gut feel is that, you know, with mining companies, it does happen, but it's quite rare that someone just produces just gold. You know, what tends to happen is that, you know, they'll produce some gold and perhaps some silver or some silver and some copper, or, you know, they tend to produce several different commodities. And what I love about commodities is you can't print them, and they're used for stuff, you know, like stuff that the world needs, stuff that we need. And in particular, clean energy. Now, if you look at the amount of copper and silver that goes into clean energy, and, you know, with the technology improving, you know, there's more and more nuclear reactors being built. So I think there's more demand for uranium and things like that. So, you know, what I like about this business is you can get a diversified portfolio together. It can be anchored with gold. But because you've got diversity, you've got several commodities, chances are they've got operations in different countries. So you've got geographical diversification as well. You've got currency diversification as well. So within this sort of commodity strategy, let's call it, you've got lots of sort of sub-strategies, which I think makes the investment, you know, particularly attractive.
Okay. What I'm really interested in, especially as a risk manager, is all these political risks. There are so many wars going on. There are a couple of wars that are to happen in the future, or there is a rumor about them. And a lot of these commodities and metals are available on or in the countries that they have at least questionable political stability. Would you recommend to purchase mining companies in developed countries? What would you recommend, especially for a small buyer? What should they do?
I think people should buy in their local market. Because, you know, wherever you're based, if you're based in the East, the West, you know, wherever, I think, you know, we are becoming less global, you know, and so if you want to have Asian antimony, you know, buy it in Asia. If you live in the West and you want to have antimony, buy it in the West. You know, you want to have something in your local market. And you know, I think what you're finding is that, you know, for example, in the US, you know, they're trying to extract more of their own commodities and not rely so much on imports from places like China and things like that. So I would urge small investors to look at their local market and, you know, look at sort of the dynamics of that local market. So let's say, you know, I've got one client that's Australian, and they've got lots of property. So they've got a lot of exposure to the Australian dollar. So in that case, you know, what I'd probably say is, look, you know, if you want some, let's say, gold, there's no harm in having some Australian gold, but you perhaps want to have a bit of, I don't know, US gold or Canadian gold or you know, gold that's New Zealand or wherever. So you don't have all your eggs in one basket. And that's what I mean by diversification, just having bits of everything, you know, in countries that are friendly to your country.
Okay. So diversification is quite challenging, especially for the small portfolios.
Because absolutely.
Because of following all these stocks and commodity prices is quite high. Or at least for small investors. But let's say that we have $1 million that we want to invest in gold and gold-related futures. How would you, how much of this million would you invest directly into gold? How much into mining and how much into other companies?
That's a very good question. slightly loaded question. But I mean, I think that people have, when they invest, I call it my like 1-2-3 strategy. One is, what are you going to invest in? You know, and if people are like, okay, I want to invest in commodities, you know, that's great. But the next question is, how do I want to invest? And that's linked with the third one, which is your strategy. But what you want to do is you want to kind of pick best of breed. So you want some good, you know, gold producing companies. You want some good commodity producing companies. You probably want some, you know, you may want some ETFs. You may want some funds. You know, a lot depends on what you're trying to do. And I think that people kind of almost forget what they're trying to achieve. You know, they say, oh, I want to invest in gold. So they'll invest in Newmont. Now, Newmont's a producer, but that doesn't really give them perhaps the exposure they want to some explorers, or, you know, perhaps doesn't want to give them the exposure they want to let's say, silver. And so, you know, what people need to think about is, you know, what's my goal? What do I want to achieve? You know, am I looking for dividends? Am I looking for capital gain? You know, where do I want my investments? And that's the kind of stuff, you know, I help people with. And then once you've got your kind of what I describe as almost like a menu, I use a fantasy football format. So we've got a sort of list of players who play for, let's say, Man U or something. And then what we then do is we then sort of take that and say, right, let's look at your goal a bit more clearly. And let's say you've got someone who doesn't like risk and let's say older, then under my fantasy football format, I'd probably say, right, you want to have more defenders and put more money into your defenders, your goalkeeper and your stadium, and, you know, less money into your midfielders and forwards. Now, a forward under my analysis would be an out and out explorer. So you're still getting a bit of the magic, but you've got less money in it. And a midfielder would be an explorer that's actually going to development or only been producing for a few years. So they've got a track record, but not a massively long track record. But again, it's all down to risk. But I think if you want to be exposed to the sector, I would suggest having a bit of money in each. So going back to your question, you know, you've got $1 million. I think a lot depends on where you are on the risk curve. And, you know, if you want lower risk, I'd put more of it into physical metals, into larger companies. And if you want higher risk, then you can put more into explorers and midfielders. But you know, we need to remember it's a team game, and, you know, you can't play football without a goalkeeper. So even if you know, you've got a very aggressive strategy, you still need to have a goalkeeper. You still need to have defense. And so, but perhaps you put less money into them.
Thank you. So I don't think there's any concern that anyone, that gold is not a good diversifier for anyone. Especially entrepreneurs should have at least part of its portfolio in gold. Would you also recommend that also companies start loading physical gold as part of their hedge against inflation?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, people always say you should match your assets with your liabilities and things like that. And I mean, I think I like gold because for me, it's a proxy for cash. But the problem you can have with gold is obviously the price goes up and it goes down. And you don't want to be in a situation where the gold price is, you know, let's say it has gone down and you need to sell it because you need cash. So I personally would say, you know, you should always have at least 12 months of cash. But if you've got a company with lots and lots of cash and, you know, they don't need any more cash, and they're looking for investments, then, you know, gold is certainly an area that they can look at. Whether or not it's a hedge against inflation, you know, sometimes it is. A lot depends on your currency movement. If your currency gets really strong, then it may be that it isn't. But if your currency tanks, then maybe it is. So, you know, what I say to people is, you know, sometimes you should view gold as an insurance product as well as an investment. And you know, if you are cash rich, there may, you know, I've got a client who's got a chunk of money in gold, and you know, there's probably no harm in having some in gold, but you know, don't go crazy.
Okay, thank you. That is a conservative view. So even if you are a gold maximalist, you're not exposing a company to too much risks.
I'm a great believer in, you know, I've actually made my money in property rather than commodities. I mean, I've done very well in commodities, don't get me wrong, but managing risk is so important. And people just, you know, I think one of the things I need to make very clear, and I know you understand it, but I'm not saying to anyone, just put all your money in gold. You know, I've done well out of property, out of equities, you know, bonds and other things. All I'm saying is you should have gold in your portfolio. So, you know, if you've got a portfolio that is equity, bonds, property and cash, just add gold to it. You know, I'm not saying you should get rid of one of the other ones. Just have some gold in it.
Okay. You wrote a really nice book on gold. And where could our listeners get this book?
It's called The Beginner's Guide to Investing in Gold. And mm-hmm. What I do is I try and explain to people all the kind of ways that they can get involved. That's at goldprogram.co.uk. If they go to that, they can also get some newsletters and reports, which are free. So, you know, they don't have to pay anything. And they can get on this journey. And then if they want to sort of stay on the journey, then further down the line, they can look at the kind of squad that I have. And, you know, that's obviously got some names of companies that they can pick from. But I'd say that's probably for a more advanced investor. I think just to start off with, at least get the newsletter and perhaps a book and then see where it takes you.
Okay. If any of the family offices want to reach you, what would you recommend? Where's the best place to reach you?
The best thing to do is probably to call me. My phone number is 0777-11704. It's a UK, so it's 44. Or email me, simonpopple@brookfieldcapital.com. And I think you could probably contact me through my gold program page as well. So. But yeah, I mean, just get in touch, and I have conversations with people who manage billions, who are hedge fund managers. To you know, I get the odd call from someone who doesn't have much money at all, and you know, they just want to have a little chat. So you know, I don't offer advice as such. You know, you need professional financial advisors to do that, but I just try and help people.
Thank you very much for all these insights. Really looking forward to how the market will develop, and I hope you won't be super busy and we can chat in a half a year or a year again.
Sounds good. Okay, well, lovely to chat, and good luck on all fronts.
Thank you, Mr. Falaschini, for this outstanding podcast, and thank you for listening to the Ask Falaschini podcast until the end. Mr. Falaschini would love to hear your feedback in the comments. And don't forget, if you want to know, ask Falaschini or listen to the Ask Falaschini podcast. In order to please the almighty algorithm, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.